You have your Bibles this morning. Turn with us to the book of Mark. Before I get started in the message this morning, I do want to reiterate a prayer request. In Sunday school, it was brought to our attention that Brother J.W. DePue is going to be facing heart surgery soon. And please remember Brother J.W. We've been praying for him often here at the church, but please remember him in prayer. Mark chapter number 11. In Mark chapter number 11, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And when they were come nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without. This is my text, in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, and he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The Lord being my helper this morning, and I'll not finish this morning, but I'd like to get started on the thought in a place where two ways met. In a place where two ways met. Would you please pray with me and pray for me? Father, I thank you this morning for the Bible. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the church, for our brethren. And I pray, Lord, this morning that He, the Holy Spirit, would minister to our hearts and our lives as we look into this text. God, I pray for liberty. Thank you, Lord, for the liberty that we have in America. Lord, I thank you even more so for the liberty that we have in the Holy Spirit, the liberty that we have in the Lord. Thank you for breaking the chains in our life, and thank you for making us free. I pray, Father, today that you would help us and you would lead us and you would guide us. And Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, please, please save that one, our Lord, that's nearest hell. I pray, Lord, this morning that you'd bring them to that place where those two ways meet. And God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'd like to look at the text this morning in light of God's salvation. In light of salvation, we're going to look at it in different ways and different manners as we go through the messages that the Lord has put in my heart. And all of it's not developed yet, and it's still growing as I stand here, even as I pray. I can't get it off of my heart. I can't get it off of my mind. But I would just like to start this morning by just giving you an example. When we're talking about the place where two ways met, one example of that that is striking in the New Testament is the Damascus Road. Paul was in a way that he thought was right. The Bible said there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He was in a way that he thought He was doing God a service. He thought he was doing the right thing. But something happened on the Damascus Road. Two ways met. The right way met up with the wrong way. And the Apostle Paul understood that day because there was a great light. He got on the road to Damascus in the dark, but he got off of the road to Damascus in the light. He got on the road to Damascus on his way to hell, but he got off the road to Damascus on his way to heaven. He got on the road to Damascus thinking he was doing the right thing, but he got off the road to Damascus knowing that it wasn't about him. It wasn't about the law, but it was about that Jesus whom he had kicked against for so many years in his life. And so this morning, I'd like to look at it in light of salvation. Before I even go any further, I want to say a word about this. I just thought about, how did all this start? Well, if you read your Bible, they're the place where two ways met. And I'm going to give you some parallels down through this scripture. But in the Bible, we're told about one that was an angel of light, one whose name was Lucifer. So in heaven, there were two ways that met. There was God's way, and then there was one that stood up against God, that rose up against God, and evidently was able to gather a following against God. There was one that said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. And beloved, ever since then, there's been two ways, and they meet. Ever so often, amen, they meet. They intersect with one another. I was thinking, as it's kind of a little funny thing, but and the message certainly is not funny. The message is serious. But you say, preacher, you're going all over the Bible. That's right. We'll get in the text here in just a moment. But this lady called her husband and told her husband that she was lost. And he said, well, tell me, where are you? And she said, well, I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk. That is the place where two ways meet. And there's a lot of them in the Bible, my friend, that we're going to identify and look at as a place where two ways meet. I thought about when you come down in the garden, Lucifer now has been kicked out of heaven. Those that followed him have been kicked out of heaven. That place, Brother Thurman, you described this morning. They're kicked out. And down in the garden, God has made a man. God said it wasn't good for that man to be alone, so he made him a wife. He made him a helpmeet. He gave Adam Eve as a gift from God. Beloved, that's the way every one of us ought to see our wives, as a gift from God. That's the way every one of us ought to see our children, as a gift from God. Children are a heritage of the Lord. That's the way everybody ought to see our country, as a gift from God. The Word of God said every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Beloved, listen, I thought about there in the garden. God gave Adam and Eve some instruction. Said, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but there's a tree in the midst of the garden. Don't eat of that, because in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was God's word. I thought about this, Brother Steve. It may be a poor way to illustrate it, but in the garden, a period was met by a question mark. Two ways met. Beloved, there are people in this room today. You hear me well. There's no question mark when it comes to this book. It's period. God said it, and that settles it. Amen. But I'll guarantee you that in a room in a crowd this side, there's still question marks when it comes to God's word. You say, where do you see that in the garden, Pastor? Here it is. The Satan come along. He entered into the serpent and he said, yea, hath God said. Beloved, I want to tell you this morning, yes, God said. Take the question mark out of it, beloved. You and I are going to meet God one of these days. Ready or not, we're going to meet him. Amen. Period. We're going to meet him. And the word of God is settled in heaven. Period. I'll tell you this morning, the two ways met right there
in the Garden of Eden. Now that's enough this morning for a little bit of an introduction. I'm trying to just get your mind on the rail where the train's going to be running. Amen. I want you to think about when you met Jesus. I want you to think about this morning. If you've never met Jesus, I want you to think about what's going to happen if you leave this world without meeting Jesus. Let's look at the text for just a few minutes this morning. I mean that. And see, beloved, what we find in light of the hour of salvation, what we find in the place where two ways met. The Word of God said here, when they came nigh to Jerusalem on the Bethpage in Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. I'm just going to go down through here and say some things about the text. Number one, someone was sent to the place where two ways met. Jesus sent two of his disciples to that place where two ways met. You know, I thought about this, Brother Steve. I mean, heavy in my heart this morning as I meditated. We've got visitation coming up. That's the caring and compelling with compassion. And beloved, listen, it ought to be in our heart to take the Word of God to people, invite them to church, yes. But I tell you what, it ought to be in our heart to help people to get to that place where those two ways meet. Beloved, listen, that place where they can understand that it's either heaven when you leave this world or hell when you leave this world. It's not about Bible way, it's about Jesus. Beloved, it's not about earth, it's about heaven. It's not about temporal, it's about eternity, amen? And somebody needs to know that when we go out that Jesus sent these, amen, he sent them to the place where two ways meet, and he has sent you and I. Jesus told his disciples, he said, hey, as I have went, even so send I you. Amen. He sends them in the power of the Holy Spirit to this place where two ways met. Now watch this. I want you to understand this. You say, well, preacher, ain't nobody ever been sent to me. I'm going to tell you something right now. Everybody saved had somebody sent to you. Somebody say amen. You see, I believe, listen, nobody gets saved unless the Holy Spirit came where you are. And beloved, God can use different things, but he wants to use Christians to get people to that place. God can use the creation. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. God can use circumstances. I thank God I can look back in my life as I've meditated on this passage, and even before I was saved, God was just nudging me along and nudging me along and getting me to that place on that pew on a Sunday night where two ways met. Hallelujah. He helped me to get there. I couldn't get there without him. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent some deacons. Over the years, I've been in this world 57 years, and I can only tell you three occasions where someone knocked on my door with the truth in 57 years. Three occasions. I was back up in Maryland after I'd moved away from Maryland, went back up to Maryland. You say, what'd you find in Maryland? Outside of Jesus, best thing that ever happened to me, that's what I found in Maryland, amen. I went back and got her, amen. Mama wouldn't let me have her when she was 16, so I went back and lived 2 years till she turned 18. Mama couldn't say no more, amen. I brought her to Virginia. I brought her to God's country. Brother Wayne, that was your cue right there to say amen. Amen. Brought her to God's country. Do you know what? Those two deacons cared enough about me. They saw me as that little snotty-nosed bus kid. They cared enough about that young adult to come and knock on my door. I'm not going to tell you all that went on, what I had to hide when they knocked on the door and I looked through the peephole and saw who it was. I was embarrassed, Brother Mike. But you know what God was doing? He was just nudging me along. He was getting me to that intersection in my life, to that place where two ways met. And then, thank God, they came twice while I was in Maryland. Then, thank God, the man I was saved under, him and a missionary, or he and a missionary. I have to look at my wife. Maybe she'll nod. He and a missionary came by my house. A beloved, listen, cared enough about me to sit down. I still think, Miss Eve, that's where that money and that family Bible came from. I remember, beloved, well, We were broke. I mean, flat broke. And I remember going through that Bible, and there was a piece of money put in that Bible. And I can't help but think, maybe that pastor, maybe that missionary, they saw where we lived. They saw how we lived. They knew we didn't have a whole lot. I don't know who put it there. Maybe an angel from heaven put it there. You say, I don't believe that. You can believe whatever you want to. I'm having a good time just believing God. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, you and I ought to be interested in going to people and helping them, being a part of God's word. And getting them to a place where two ways meet. Amen. So someone was sent to that place. Watch this now. Boy, I tell you what, I feel good. There's a liberty you're not going to find at a picnic. Amen. Praise God. Let me tell you this morning, not only was someone sent to the place where two ways met, but I want you to go down here and understand this. Someone foretold of the place where two ways met. You said, preacher, I don't understand that. How many of you all understand this, that much of what happened in Jesus' life, he would say something like this, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? Over here in the book of Zechariah chapter 9, listen. It said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. I'm telling you, hundreds of years before Jesus sent the disciples, beloved, there was someone saying, there's going to be a place where two ways meet. And right there, beloved, there's going to be that little colt that Jesus is going to ride into Jerusalem, that triumphal entry. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with us. It'll bless you if you can get a grip on it this morning. I'll tell you, listen, that took a lot of people by surprise that night when I got saved by the grace of God. But it didn't take the Spirit of God by surprise. It didn't take Jesus by surprise. It didn't take God the Father by surprise. Long time before it ever happened, they knew about a night in February in 1987 where two ways would meet. They knew, Zechariah knew about this time that we're reading about in the book of Mark. I like what one preacher said. Don't know if it was original with him, but Dr. Curtis Hudson's the one that I heard say it. He said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, friend, you can get some peace out of that in your life if you'll let that get a hold of you. Amen. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Beloved, here, there's a place where two ways meet, and it's foretold way before they ever get to that place. Someone knew the way to the place where two ways meet. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 2. The Bible said here, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, he said, preacher, what do you mean someone knew the way? The disciples didn't know the way, but Jesus knew the way. He talked to them. He said, preacher, why do we need preaching? Why do we need Bible study? Why do we need to read our Bible every day? Why do we need this book? Because, beloved, he knows the way. He don't just know the way to get saved. He knows the way for us to serve. He knows the way in sanctification. He knows, beloved, everything we need's in this book. And he knows what we need even before we ask. Watch what it said here. He saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied. Let me ask you something. Do you ever think about the disciples and, you know, up until now, they're seeing some miracles and they're seeing some things. But do you ever think about their conversation? Do you ever think about what goes on in their mind? Two of the disciples go, Brother Rosa, and they go, and just as soon as they get inside the city there, so to speak, There's that cold tide. Just like he said. Can I tell you this? This will help you this morning. Everything he said is going to come to pass just like he said. I'm not in heaven yet, but I'm going just like he said. I'm not like Jesus entirely yet, but I will be just like he said. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, the earth is not on fire yet, but it will be just like he said. The water's not turned to blood yet, but it will be just like he said. Jesus has not come yet, but he will just like he said. Yes, he will. Beloved, it blesses me to know Jesus knew the way. Someone knew the way to the place where two ways meet. Isn't that a blessing? Watch this now. Something was found at the place where two ways meet. I remember being in a prison. The fellow run up to me and he said, I found Jesus. I said, I didn't know he was lost. That got him to scratching his head. I said, you see, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, when they got to the place where two ways meet, there was that donkey. That donkey was found right there. That colt was found right there at the place. Do you know where lost people are found? Every one of them are found at a place where two ways meet. Do you know that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost? He's looking for them at that place where two ways meet. I tell you, this morning not only was something found at that place where two ways meet, but I want you to see this. There was something that was tied at that place where two ways meet. In other words, God didn't just visit me there, brother. I was tied. I couldn't do nothing. There wasn't nothing, Brother Sam, that I could do to get loose. But thank God he sent one after me. And listen, he found me tied, but he didn't leave me tied. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? How many knows what I'm talking about? Beloved, listen, he found me at that place where two ways meet. He sent someone after me at that place. He spoke to me at that place. And thank God when I, beloved, listen in my heart, submitted not to a way which seems right, but to Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. He untied me and set me free. Hallelujah. There's a place. Something was about to be loosed at this place where two ways meet. Let's go on down in the text just a moment. Watch this now. In verse number 3, Jesus said, and if any man say unto you, why do you this? Well, is that not fair enough? Brother Grizzle, if somebody was out there after church and they had a key to your car and they were just going to get in your car and they're just going to drive your car off, you might say, what are you doing? Whoever owned this colt, two disciples come. Why do you do this? I mean, after all, it looks like you're stealing. And they looked at him and said, the Lord have need of him. Is that right or is that wrong? You say, preacher, what are you trying to magnify right here? There'll always be some questions at that place. There'll be not only questions in that person's heart, but there'll be question marks in the people around. Have you ever heard questions like this? Well, I wonder if they really got in. Have you ever heard questions like this? I wonder how long they'll make it. Questions like this, I wonder if they're serious. That comes from around. But I tell you something, there's not only questions coming from around at that place where two ways meet. There's questions comes from within. Somebody say amen right there. How many understands that Jesus, it doesn't matter what the question is, at that place where two ways meet, thank God he has an answer. Amen. Watch this now. Someone will have questions, but not only that, someone will have the answer. The Bible said, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he'll send him hither. They went their way, found the colt tied by the door within a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye? Loosen the colt. Beloved, listen. Someone has a need. This blows my mind. It blows my mind. But the someone that has a need at this place where two ways met was the Lord. The Word of God said they were to say, the Lord hath need of him. The Lord, that donkey, was a symbol of humility. You see, Israel was trying to make him a king before his time. They wanted to get out from under the oppression of the Romans, and their hope was maybe that in Jesus they could do that. But they didn't understand that Jesus didn't come to get them out from under the oppression of the Romans. Jesus came to get them out from under the oppression of the wages of sin and death. He came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Someone had a need, and that need was going to be met. Now when Jesus comes to us and brings us to that place where two ways meet, beloved, you might say, well, the Lord certainly doesn't have a need. I'll tell you this right now. You and I have a need. We need the Lord. But we need to understand this, that God does have a church. God does have a ministry. And beloved, God is interested in you and I being involved in his church, being involved in his ministry. And the very first step in that is being saved by the grace of God, is surrendering our will to his will. Beloved, the very first step in that, my friend, is being untied from the chains of sin, being set free by the Spirit of God, that we might go forward and do what God. Listen, there was not a higher purpose. This donkey wasn't thinking about Jesus, but Jesus was thinking about this donkey. Honey, there was a day when you and I weren't thinking about Jesus. But there's never been a day when he wasn't thinking about us. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, that'll bless you if you get a hold of that. I'm telling you, when people die without God and know that he, when he was on the cross, listen, I can do better than that. Before the foundation of the world, you and I were on his mind. He said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In that place where two ways meet. Oh, thank God, there was a need. Something was going to find purpose. You know, the reason last night that a lot of people rolled up their sleeves and put a needle in their arm. The reason a lot of people will not even think about America and the goodness and the greatness and the freedom that we have in America. They'll never think, Brother Steve, about the founding fathers, because all they can think about is that Bud Dummer and that Miller lowlife. How many knows I'm telling it right? All they can think about, beloved, listen, is just having a day off from work and getting drunk one more time. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, let's pray. God will bring them to a place where two ways meet. They can get a drink of living water and they won't need any more of that. Amen. That this world has to offer. Beloved friend, Jesus knew the response of those at that place where two ways meet. Watch, you say, preacher, this is deep. It is. Before Jesus ever sent them, Jesus knew how the response would be over there. You just tell him the Lord hath need of him, and you know what they're going to do? Take him on. Listen to me carefully. This took a lot of pressure off me this morning when God gave me this, Brother Johnny. When God brings a person to that place where two ways meet, he already knows how they're going to respond. I'd like to see everyone that's brought to that place. Brother Russ, I'd like to see everyone come to Jesus. By the way, beloved, listen, Brother Thurman, listen, that city, you're talking about how big it is and how many people it would hold. If I'm not a mathematician, y'all can tell that. But anyway, it seems to me like, brother, that the city's big enough to hold them all. Think about that for just a minute. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God made a heaven big enough to hold them all. But at the place where two ways meet, some, they don't respond correctly. I tell you, it's the grace of God that any of us responded correctly. He said, I'm not going to run from Him this time. I'm going to run to Him. I'm not going to stay in my own way. I want to get in His way. I don't want to walk anymore in this broad way. I want to get in the narrow way. I don't want to be anymore in this guilty way. I want to be in God's way. I don't want to walk anymore in the dark way. I want to walk in the light way, the bright way. Hallelujah. Beloved friend, there's a place where two ways met. You could call a message like this. You can learn a lot from a donkey. Say amen. Brother Joe, might be better received from you than it would be from me. Think about writing the president a letter. Listen to what I'm going to say. Think about writing him a letter, Brother Joe. Tell him your testimony. Tell him about the nursing homes and going and singing. Tell him about the goodness and the grace of God. Let me tell you something right now. You say, preacher, what are you going to get into? I believe when the president is attacked, it puts the president at a place where two ways meet. Listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, you ain't got no business saying this. I'm led of the Spirit of God. He done cut me loose a long time ago. And Brother Joe, you might tell him that in God's Word, God tells us to pray for them that despitefully use you. Help me, somebody. Honey, I tell you what's the truth. If I found out you're calling me a bunch of old wicked names, I find out you're running my wife in the ground and my children in the ground, it's going to break my heart. But I'm not going to get on social media and attack you. I'm not going to get in that pulpit and attack you. But I tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to get off in the corner somewhere. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to turn you over to the one that can handle you. Are you listening to me? He'll get it done right. If I could say anything to the president today, that's what it would be. Beloved, look here in the text, and I'm about done. There's a purpose discovered as a result of the place where two ways met. I've already touched on that. There's a blessing to be gained from the place where two ways met. Look at verse 9. They that went before that followed him cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. How many believes, beloved? As a result of those disciples going, Jesus sending them, they went. They found what Jesus told them they would find, where Jesus told them they would find it. That colt was loose like Jesus told them. That colt was brought back. Jesus sat upon that colt. I tell you what's the truth, beloved. Listen, one day he won't be riding a colt, but this day he was to ride a colt into Jerusalem. It was to be humble. It was to be humility. But thank God Almighty, there's a day coming. He won't be riding a colt. He'll be riding a big white horse. And beloved, out in his pasture, and listen, it'll be dipped in blood. And the word of God will be written there. And out of his mouth will go a sharp two-edged sword. You can meet him, beloved, listen, at the way where two ways meet. You can meet him in humility, but you die in your pride and you'll meet him in judgment. Jesus humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Beloved, Jesus died that we might live. Up until this point, it seems like only Mary understood when she anointed the feet of Jesus and with that precious ointment and wiped his feet with her hair and her tears. She's the only one that understood. Jesus said, against the day of my burying, has she done this? There's a blessing. Please, listen carefully what I'm going to say. I'm trying to be led of the Lord right here because you can misconstrue this. Some of you told me, has anybody in this church ever got a blessing from something God's given me to preach? Let me just say it like this. Some might say, well, boy, it was a blessing to me, preacher. Here's what I want you to think about. It all goes back. Any good thing that's ever come out of my life goes back to a place on Sunday night, Landmark Baptist Church, Glen Spring, Virginia. Brother Bud Wishon's the pastor. He's preaching the Word of God. The Spirit of God has come down and brought me to a place where two ways meet. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, any blessing. Brother Brian stands here and teaches. Brother John, Brother Thurman, others, amen. Pastors come in and preach the Word of God. But every blessing that you and I have ever received, it comes from an individual that made the right choice at a place where two ways meet. Oh, beloved friend, a couple of things here. The place was Landmark. Satan's way was meeting up with the Spirit's way. The old way was meeting up with the new way. If any man be in Christ, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The broad way that night was meeting up with the narrow way. A broken way was meeting up with the Bible way. How many of y'all remember how broken you were? I am going to tell you something right now. If you've never been broken over your sin, there's a pretty good chance you ain't never repented of your sin. When the Holy Spirit comes, it'll break your heart. It'll break your heart when you look. You'll not be thinking Roman soldiers, look what they've done. You'll be looking, you'll see that sorry rascal in the mirror. Look what you've done to the Savior, the Son of God. A guilty way was meeting up with the grace way. A selfish way was meeting up with the Savior's way. A proud way was meeting up with the humble way. Man's way was meeting up with God's way. A poor way, glory, was meeting up with the rich way. You say, preacher, you ain't rich. That's because you ain't looking at the right thing. Amen. Amen, Brother Gale. I noticed there's a little bit of corrosion on the side of your van out there, Brother Gale. That might not be the nicest vehicle in Kingsville. Amen. You go up there and my old truck's got 280 some thousand miles on it. I thought about a new one one time and I said I wouldn't want to throw an old board in the back of that. And I like my old one. Amen. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? Hey, you can look at what we have. You can look at what we are. But honey, it's not what you see that makes me a king. It's not what you see that makes me rich. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Beloved, listen. All because of a place where two ways meet. I thought about this. A way which seemeth right was meeting up with a way that surely is right. Because that night I understood, Brother Thurman, what Jesus said when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is kind of a silly illustration, I guess, but I think it makes a good point. People, some of them today are deciding, they're trying to decide, well, am I going to go the Muslim way, or am I going to go the Catholic way, or am I going to go the Methodist way, am I going to go the Baptist way? I used to love to watch that show, Let's Make a Deal. And every once in a while, I still watch it. Just it don't seem like it's as good as it used to be, because now even on The Big Deal, they don't have a real zonk. How many knows what a zonk is? How many's ever watched the program? It's just an old game show. Let's Make a Deal. They go through, you win things. At the end, you get a chance to trade whatever you won for a chance at the big prize. I'm going somewhere. That night, Brother Ralph, the Spirit of God didn't come to me and say, "Now, Rick, you pick door number one or door number two or door number three." But the Spirit of God said, "Rick, here's someone I want to introduce you to. He's the door."
Amen.
I didn't have to pick door number one, door number two, or door number three. Thank God I didn't. I'd have got it wrong, sure as the world. But Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture." What a blessing. What a blessing. An earthly way was meeting up with a heavenly way. Aren't you glad that our Lord thought enough of you and I to bring us to a place where two ways meet? Aren't you glad? You see, I remember it well. I remember the questions. It was as if the Lord was sitting on one shoulder and the devil was sitting on the other shoulder. And it was like the Lord would say, "I love you. You need to be saved, son." He said, and the devil would say, "Why, you've been in church for 6.5 years. The Lord would say, "You need to be saved, son. I love you. You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved." And then the devil, he gave up on that one. And he said, "Well, what are these people going to think if you get saved?" And then the Lord said, "You better not worry about what they think." I'm talking about this is going on for 45 minutes. "Better not worry about what they think. You better worry about what I know." And the devil, when I look back on it, Brother Steve, he's just getting stronger and stronger. Now he tells me they're going to laugh at me. If you go to that altar and you get saved, they're going to laugh at you and they'll throw you out of the church. They'll laugh at you. Honey, there wasn't no laughing going on that night. There wasn't nothing but weeping. And it wasn't the weeping kind where it's wailing and gnashing of teeth. It was joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. At a place where two ways met. Are you going to listen to the one, beloved, that said, "You must be born again"? Or are you going to listen to the one that's telling you, "Well, your Sunday school pens will get it done. Your church membership will get it done. That money you put in the offering plate will get it done. That water on your head or that water all over you will get it done"? Honey, you better listen to the one that says it's the blood or it's hell. It's being born again or it's hell. It's the book and there is no other way. It's the narrow way or it's hell. Beloved friend, there's a place where two ways meet. I thought about this and I'm done. I thought I'd be done a long time ago. And we're really just getting started in the message. This is just in light of salvation. But let me tell you this. You say, "Preacher, why aren't there more people being brought to that place where two ways meet?" Well, I've got some ideas. I can't prove it. One of them is distraction. The devil is trying to distract this generation. And by the way, going back to our president, that's what he's trying to do to him too. Is distract him. Get his eyes off the prize. Get his eyes off of the goal. Beloved friend, listen to me. Distraction. You say, "Well, preacher, what if I die like that?" You'll be without excuse. I believe God will take that young person back to that time when God was trying to bring them to a way, and all they was interested in was social media. All they was interested in is that they had. I thank God on our youth retreat, Brother Lance, some people don't know this, but the kids don't get to take that. I'm not against them, but I'm telling you that's the reason a lot of people's not saved right there. That big one-eyed monster in the home, that's the reason a lot of people's not saved. They're distracted. Are you listening to me? They're distracted. Even in church. Listen, in the generation we live, how many will help me and say amen? It's a full-time job to keep your mind on the message for 30 minutes or 45 minutes and not be getting out into tomorrow or not be looking back into yesterday. It's a full-time job. God wants to bring us to that place. I can't. Emphasize enough. Every time the Apostle Paul got up to preach, he tells you about that road. He tells you about that man he met on that road. And I'm afraid that a lot of God's people have gotten over the place where two ways meet. They've forgotten how wonderful it is to be saved. And how that God did not owe us anything then, and He does not owe us anything now. We owe it all to Jesus. Help me. We owe it all to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for this text. God, You didn't put anything in the Bible by accident. Lord, in the other three Gospels, it's not worded exactly the same way. But in Mark's Gospel, You said they would find that colt tied at a place where two ways met. God, I ask You this morning to bring people, Lord, to that place. Lord, this message may seem like today that it's only for the sinner. But Lord, I don't believe we'll ever experience real revival as Christians until we begin, Lord, to get back to that place. That's what You told the church at Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because You've left Your first love. Help us in our hearts and in our minds today to take a little trip back to that place where two ways meet. Help us, our God, to worship You. God, in the invitation, maybe some would just like to come and just thank You, God, for bringing them to that place. Thank You, God, for helping them with grace in that place. Lord, there are people here today that are unsaved. God, I pray they wouldn't be distracted. I pray, God, that they'd be brought to the place where two ways meet. And then when they are, God, that they would choose Jesus. Lord, thank You for Your word.